Well, it is a joy to be back with you. I was back a few months ago on an evening, and there had been a little discussion at that time about this. Now, let me clear up some misunderstandings. First of all, I am not a firefighter, although I am wearing a fire department uniform. I'm a chaplain, and it's a little bit different for a retired police officer to be wearing a fire department uniform. There is a friendly competition between police and fire. And so I like to say, for once in my life, I wanted to know what it was like to be loved by everybody. So that's why I'm wearing a fire department uniform. And I am, just as there is a friendly competition between police and fire, there are friendly competitions between different police departments. So when I was promoted as former OPP, I thought, I was a police officer. I wasn't OPP. So we're glad to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, while you're there, let me, I'll probably knock that fly in if I... While you're turning there, let me say that I am honored to be here and to be able to preach this First Responders Appreciation Service. And I am honored as well to have my former staff sergeant, who is now inspector with Woodstock Police, and one of my former colleagues, Lorianne Maitland, and Marcy Shelton. We're so glad to have them with us here this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I'll read it for you. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for each one that is here. We thank you for those who are first responders that are with us today. We pray your blessing upon them. May you protect them as they carry out their duties. May you guide them and direct them. And Father, may you be near to them. And truly, even as we have read today, may you provide for them rest, and may they know that they are deeply loved. We thank you, Father, for this church and for its vision to honor first responders, and we pray that you would indeed bless New Testament. Be with us now for a few moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I've had opportunity to preach a few of these services, and there is a story I like to share. It was from a speaking opportunity that Sir David McNee, who was at that moment in time the head of the Metropolitan London Police Department in London, England. And he was in Canada, and he was speaking to the Association of Police Chiefs. And Sir David told this story as he began to address the audience. He said, "One of our London police exam questions is as follows. You are on patrol when an explosion occurs on the next street. Upon investigation, you find a large hole in an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You know that he is an unlicensed driver and that his passenger is the wife of your police inspector. A motorist stops to offer assistance and you recognize him as a party that is wanted on warrants. Suddenly, another man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting the baby and that the shock of the explosion has brought on labor and birth is imminent. At that moment, you hear someone crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion. He cannot swim. Describe in a few words what you would do." Sir David then said that one of his bright young officers was giving it some thought, and he finally put pen to paper and wrote this answer: remove uniform and mingle with crowd. The reality is that in the occupation of a first responder, whether it be police, fire, or paramedics, you really never know what you're going to face. And the experiences that come your way, you have no choice. You have to respond and you have to be there. And sometimes, as has been alluded to, you see the absolute worst that humanity can do to each other. Sometimes you have the opportunity to experience blessings and things that are just beyond words. But more often than not, what you face and what you are involved in is ugly, and it is not enjoyable. We see around us today that violent crime is increasing. We see that the world seems to be falling apart at its seams. I like to say to our folks down in Fort Erie that it seems that the world has lost its collective mind all at the same time. Everything that we would consider normal has been thrown out the window. In fact, I heard someone say that normal is simply a setting on your dryer. That's all normal is. Because a lot of families that we would consider normal are truly dysfunctional at the best. In Leveland, Texas, a man by the name of John Yates got his lost dog back after he'd put an ad in the local newspaper. And the ad said this: lost or strayed, Chihuahua. The dog answers to the name Chico. He is a brilliant dog, acutely aware of national events and world politics. He shakes all the time. And truly, you know, if it weren't for bad news, sometimes it seems there would be no news. If you, I used to be a news junkie, and I used to watch the news all the time. I don't do it so much anymore, because it's discouraging to watch the news. It's discouraging to see everything that's going on and all the things that are happening around us, and it can get you down. I didn't come here today to tell you how bad the world is. You know that. You don't need me to come from Fort Erie to tell you how bad things are around us. But I did come to tell you this. I have good news. Somebody cares. Somebody cares. I have good news today that the world does not share, and you don't see on the news broadcast, and it's not in the headlines, but there is someone that cares, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as first responders, it is good to know that the community around you appreciates you. It's good to know that you are recognized for what you do. And this has been a very difficult time for first responders over the last little while. There have been 5 police officers in Canada that have been killed in the line of duty in the last 5 weeks. And so it is a difficult time. And it's important that we understand that there are some good things around us. There are some good people in our communities. But there is someone that the Bible says sticks closer than a brother that loves us with a love that you could never, ever experience in this world. In Matthew chapter 11, we find the difference between the world and Jesus Christ. You know, religion is a horrible thing. Religion is man-made. It is man's attempt to get to God. And what we are proclaiming today is not religion.
That's right.
It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is coming to know personally and experientially the one who loves you and gave his life for you. Religion says do. Jesus says, come. The greatest of human needs today is to be loved and to be able to give love. And the one thing that the world does not give much of is love. The one thing that we do not experience much of as we go about our daily lives in our communities is love. We don't see a lot of it. But I'm here to tell you that there's reason to be hopeful. There is reason to smile, and there is reason to believe that there is indeed good news. You know, we all have times of great need, times when it seems that we don't know the beginning from the end and that the light at the end of the tunnel is simply a freight train bearing down on you. But there is something that you and I can rest in and be assured of and hope in. And that is the reality that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you. And he came to this earth to die for you. I want to share to you today 3 points. Very simply, and it should be easy to remember. And I do that because I'm not a complicated guy. I have to keep it simple for myself. And so that vein, you're going to get simple. The first thing that I think comes to my mind and what is drawn to my attention in verse 28 is the word come. Jesus says come. The Pharisees of his day were proud of the things that they did. They were proud of the rules that they kept. They were proud of their traditions and all the things that were important to them. And they would say to anyone that was trying to be accepted by the religious elite, they would say, do this or do that or follow this law or obey this commandment. And Jesus didn't say that. When we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus simply says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come, and drives none away. No matter our standing in life, we may all come. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, come is the favorite word of our Lord. Not go to Moses, but come to me. The Pharisees tried to force people to go to Moses. They tried to get people to obey the law of Moses. They tried to get them to keep all of the commandments and all of the additional commandments that the Pharisees had come up with. Jesus simply says, come. Amen. You know, as we look at religion around us today and we look at all the different denominations, we look at all the different legalistic rules that are put in place by churches that are trying to do the right thing but have no idea the simplicity of the gospel. They say do. And Jesus says come. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. True salvation is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. To come to him means to trust him. I tell our folks all the time that it's not about joining a church. It's not about being baptized. It's not about giving money in the offering. It's not about being a good person in your community. It is about coming to the end of yourself, recognizing that as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Yes. The gift. What do you have to do for a gift? Nothing. You simply accept it. And God offers to each and every one of us today the gift of eternal life. Eugene, what year was it that you came to faith?
2009.
Came to the end of yourself and recognized that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. I was 15 years old when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I've not lived a perfect life since then. I have not been the model person that I think I should like to be. But I thank God that He is loving and gracious and forgiving. Amen. Jesus says, come. This invitation is extended to all who are exhausted, all who are burdened down, all who are tired of searching for peace and hope somewhere else. People for centuries have been trying to find peace, to find something that will fill the void that they have in their lives. And I believe that in every human being alive today, there is a God-sized void in their life. There is a need for something. And they try to find it with a variety of things. And trust me, having been in policing for 25 years, I know that even first responders themselves try to fill that void. They deal with people all the time that are trying to fill the void and making wrong decisions and getting involved in things that they ought not to. But even in their own lives, there is a need. And they try desperately to try and fill that. As we look through the New Testament and we look through the life and ministry of Christ, we find that every person that He came into contact with, He loved and cared for. No matter how ugly their past, no matter what they'd been involved in, no matter the sin that they were currently involved in, He loved them. You don't have to have your life in order to come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a person who has it all together. In fact, I would really desperately like to meet that person who has it all together. If you're here this morning, please come and talk to me after the service is done. If you got everything figured out and your life is perfect and everything is just the way you want it to be, come and talk to me because I'd like to know what your secret is. So every one of us here are broken to one degree or another. Every one of us that are here today have needs. Now, many of us that have come here this morning have found that need in Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Him, the first step is to come. It's to come. I grew up in a pretty messed up home. My mom and dad fought constantly. My dad beat my mom. I remember as a child dishes being thrown and broken against the wall. I remember my mom in a corner huddled with her arms over her head trying to protect herself. I remember a lot of things that were ugly. And that's why at 15 years old, when I heard the gospel for the first time, and I heard a pastor speaking to a youth rally that we were away for the weekend, and he talked about his hobby, which was clock repair. He used to take clocks apart and fix them and put them all together. And he talked about the fact that clocks have little wheels and all sorts of tiny mechanisms inside. And if one of them gets skewed or one of them gets broken, the whole clock is messed up. And it's true in our lives as well. We are made up of a lot of complicated pieces. And sometimes things get broken. And sometimes things aren't the way we want them to be and it doesn't make sense. And so the first step is to come. Come to Jesus. Come, and if you come, He will give you rest. Rest from the doubts, the questions, the emptiness. Amen. But the first step is yours. Now, I cannot stand here today and tell you that if you trust Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. I can't tell you that your life is going to be completely in order and that all of your problems are going to go away. I wish I could. But I can tell you this, based on personal experience, that Jesus Christ helps make sense of all of the mess that this life tends to bring. So the first step is to come. The second is to take. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking. Even at this moment in time, even as we sit here this morning, there's something inside of you that's saying, this is true, this is right, you need to listen to this, you need to do something. That is the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart. Christ offers the free gift of salvation this morning, but we must accept it by faith. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not becoming a better person. It's not putting all of my bad habits on the back shelf and trying harder to be a good person. It is simply coming to Christ and taking the gift that he offers. And the third thing is also found in verse 29, and that is rest. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Doesn't that word sound awesome? Do you know some people today that need to find rest? Rest for their souls. The Greek word here for rest means to calm, to comfort, and to refresh. Jesus says, Take my yoke upon you. The yoke was a wooden frame that fit over the shoulders of draft animals, harnessing them together into the plow, and they would pull together. Being yoked to Christ means that you rely on him. You give your burdens to him. You accept the necessity of walking with him side by side, and he helps take the load. The yoke that Christ offers is easy. It's well-fitting. It does not add to the burdens that we already carry, but instead it gives rest for our soul. Rest from the guilt that we carry. Rest from the fears of what tomorrow holds. It is a rest that helps the soul and calms the mind and the anxieties. A few years ago, I picked up a book called Margin. It was written by a medical doctor by the name of Richard Swenson, in which he describes modern society as so overcommitted and overscheduled that we have no space left for rest. A reviewer of the book on Amazon writes this, Overload is not having time to finish the book you're reading on stress. Margin is having time to read it twice. Overload is fatigue. Margin is energy. Overload is red ink. Margin is black. Overload is hurry. Margin is calm. Overload is anxiety. Margin is security. Overload is a disease of our day, but margin is the cure. Swenson says that as a society, we've forgotten what margin is. In the push for progress, margin has been devoured. And so we feel distressed in ill-defined ways. We are besieged by anxiety, stress, and fatigue. Our relationships suffer, and we have unexplained aches and pains, and the flood of daily events seems beyond our control. But let me tell you this morning. The author of that book is a born-again Christian. But as the one reviewer said, margin is the cure. Margin's not the cure. Jesus is the cure. Jesus is the cure. He is the one that stands knocking, waiting. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't force his way into anybody's life. He does not push his way in. He stands at the door and knocks, and he waits for the invitation. He waits for us to come and to take, to receive the gift. And then once we do, he offers rest for our souls. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have you been searching for peace? Have you been unable to find it? Maybe you've been through the whole gamut of all the options that are out there, and you still have a void in your life. My friends, let me encourage you today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You don't have to get things in order before you do that. You just have to recognize that you are a lost sinner, that you are separated from God by your sin, and that He offers to you forgiveness. Come, take, and rest. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reality that you are a good God, that you love us. We thank you for the truth of Scripture that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God, forgive us for those times in which we make it about doing and being. Help us to understand that it is simply by coming and accepting that we will truly find rest for our souls. Father, I pray today that if there is one here that does not know Jesus Christ, they've never experienced his grace and his mercy, that today would be the day that they would open up their heart's door and that they would come to him and take the gift that he offers. Thank you, Father, for being with us here today. Thank you for these first responders that have come. Thank you for the work that is done selflessly in this community and around this country. And Father, I pray your hand of protection upon them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.